There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Live local talk for the next hour. And, of course, you're a big part of it. Text line, phone line's open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, I have to put some pictures up here in just a second. The new window logo's going up on the FM Talk 106.5 studios. If you've never been by here, so we have glass-fronted studios that look out on the lobby on the, I'd say, opulent and palatial building here that FM Talk 106.5 is in, and we've got this kind of the glass onto the world here, and we've got our buddy Mike Callahan with brand new logoing for the glass. I'm loving it. I'm digging it. So I have to put some pictures put them up on the Facebook page. I'll put them up on the Twitter feed here shortly. All right, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we talked trains today, and specifically Amtrak and train service in and out of the city of Mobile, as the Mobile City Council tomorrow will be voting on funding. And this is like something we talked to Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl last week. Not only are the people of Mobile looking at this, so is like the County Commission and others, to see what happens, to see what will go on forward with funding, maybe from the county as well. And I've talked about this in the past with a doctor who comes in, usually talks about historical preservation with me, or politics in general. Now he's going to talk some trains as well. Dr. Stephen McNair, thanks for being here.
Sean, it's a pleasure. I appreciate the invitation.
It's good because not only are you've talked about this, paid attention to it, you're a member of the Southern Rail Commission?
That's right. I'm one of six members of the Southern Rail Commission for the state of Alabama, appointed by the governor.
Okay, so what, first of all, let's hit the rewind. So what, Southern Rail Commission, somebody hadn't followed this, what is that?
It is an organization created by the United States Congress with the intent to study rail in the Southeast United States, specifically in Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. And starting about 5 or 10 years ago, there was a real push to re-implement a lot of the services that were lost during Hurricane Katrina. And so that's really one of the goals of this group, is to work with Amtrak for passenger service, but also work with the freight industry to improve their services. So it's just rail promotion in general for those three states.
It seems like in a lot of these discussions you and I have had with others, that there's this point that Katrina seems to be some sort of a benchmark with rail service around here, that with the damage to the infrastructure, then it stopped. Was rail service just going on wide open before Katrina, or was it in decline? Was it an upswing, or was there anything? Because, I mean, yes, infrastructure-wise, Katrina took it out, but, Katrina took out a lot of infrastructure that people went back in and rebuilt.
Absolutely. So the rail lines were built immediately after the storm because we still had to reinstate freight service. So what suffered was the lack of the reinstitution of the Sunset Limited line, which, of course, serviced Mobile and the Gulf Coast. Now, it was not a designated train between Mobile and New Orleans specifically. Mobile was just a stop on this train that from one point went to Miami all the way to the West Coast. And so it was not daily. It came through oftentimes very late at night. It was not on time. It wasn't a premier kind of service. It was a long-distance train. And long-distance trains during that time had a lot of complications, and still do in some places. But what we're trying to instate, we're not trying to reinstate that. We're trying to create something new here, which would be a designated twice-a-day service between Mobile and New Orleans that would be a commuter line and not a long-distance train.
Okay, so you used that term. I was about to ask you, is that called that's a commuter line versus... So you have, is that the two designations in train travel, long distance and commuter? Or?
That really is, in terms of the way that Amtrak defines it. And we're seeing more and more of this across the country. You know, there was a Wall Street Journal article about 6 months ago where the new president of Amtrak, who used to be the president of Delta Airlines, is saying, look, a lot of these long-distance trains are not as profitable as they used to be. The ridership has gone down. But if you look at connecting two cities with a large population, we're starting to see ridership increase and revenue go up. So there's a bit of a battle in Washington right now about increasing the number of new commuter lines while also maintaining some of the long-distance trains. So there's a lot happening with rail right now in Washington.
Commuter trains have kind of been a thing that people think about, maybe the West Coast, but the Northeast for me is where I think that's kind of like the, you know, the Garden of Eden for commuter lines in the United States, and didn't ever hear much discussion here in the Southeast about that.
You know, it's interesting. That's definitely the stereotype. The Northeast Corridor lines, as they call it. Those are certainly the most used smaller lines in the country. But then if you start to look at what's happening in Virginia, if you noticed just a few weeks ago, a multi-billion dollar rail proposal was passed by their state legislature and their government for more of these smaller lines and commuter lines. And then we also have conversations now ongoing between Amtrak and some of the freight services about a line between Nashville and Atlanta. That was made public just a few weeks ago. So between the Carolinas trying to increase their rail traffic, Virginia making it a priority clearly, and now with the Southern Rail Commission on the you know, the 1 yard line here in Mobile, we're really making strides to make rail travel feasible, economical, and make it the type of service that it really should be.
Okay. So that service is, if you had to balance out the seesaw, or we're going to cut up the pie, and how much of that is business commuter, you know, people got to be in a meeting in New Orleans, or a New Orleans person has to be in a meeting here, versus Sean Sullivan and his family want to go over to the French Quarter for the day. I mean, where do y'all see that?
Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that, because it can definitely be both. And a lot of people think, well, this is just going to be something people use on the weekends to come to Mobile to see family, or for come here for some kind of event, or maybe Mobilians going to a Saints game or something like that. That's definitely part of the marketing and part of the economic, part of the study that was done to prove that it's going to be economically feasible and viable. But also the Monday through Friday traffic is something we're hearing a lot of businesses in Mobile say, look, Stephen, right now we're having to rent buses to get our workers to Pascagoula. We're having to rent buses to get our people to Biloxi in New Orleans. And I'm not going to name who those corporations are. They can go on record if they'd like, but I can tell you they have contacted the mayor's office. And they've said, look, transportation and getting our workers to where they need to be on the Gulf Coast is something that we have a real hard time with.
Okay, so it is going to be, in your estimation, a mix. It's not just fun on the weekends kind of thing. It's going to be something that's based in a business week.
People. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, hold on for a second. We'll come right back. Dr. Stephen McNair, we're talking about trains, Amtrak passenger service in and out of Mobile. Mobile City Council tomorrow has their vote on a subsidy for this. We'll talk about that money and talk about the economics of this as well when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Yeah, so tomorrow, this is the vote in the Mobile City Council that's been tabled, but now up against a deadline. They have to vote one. Am I right, Stephen? They have to. The deadline's like this week.
It's February 5th, and so that's for a matching federal grant. And
okay,
so,
explain how all that stuff's happening.
Sure. So this would only be for the first 3 years of operating expenses for the Mobile to New Orleans line, and so we're asking the Mobile City Council to make a decision if in the future, if the train does run, that they would allocate $3 million to cover the first 3 years of operating, and then the federal government would chip in an additional three that would be needed. Now, all of this, though, is predicated on the train actually running. And so there's not a scenario where the city council votes for this to happen, and then all of a sudden the train doesn't run and the money's lost.
Okay.
There's still a lot of work to be done before this train can run.
The way I understood it, it would be, so there's the federal, and it's a 50-50, right? So
right.
Federal $3 million, city $3 million would only kick in as, so it's up to $3 million, right?
Well, it's capped at $3 million. Okay. So under no circumstances will it be above that. And also, it's only for the first 3 years. So at the end of year three, if the Mobile City Council didn't want to put any more money into operating for years four and onward, they don't have to.
So, but this is to, I mean, subsidy is the right term, right? Is that the correct term to subsidize? So Let's get in the mathematics of it a little bit here. What is the, because people talk about studies, y'all have looked at this, Southern Rail Commission, y'all have looked at this, you've got to have some, I know Amtrak had their numbers, find some real numbers here, the projected number of people that would come and go on the train, how much a ticket is. I mean, can you fill me in on that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. We'll start with the economics of it. So we had the Southern Rail Commission asked the University of Southern Mississippi in conjunction with the University of South Alabama to do an economic impact study to test the viability of this train should it come back. And the results of that was, if you look at it from a macro perspective, okay, meaning heads and beds and meals and lodging taxes and sales tax and all things encompassed with a visitor coming to Mobile, that study says with the projected ridership numbers, all it will take is a 1% increase in ridership, or for tourism rather, coming to Mobile on that train to pay for this service. Now, that doesn't equate to ticket sales paying for the service directly.
Okay,
now, there are three ways to make money from this train directly. One is ticket sales, one is food and beverage, and the other is advertising on the train. We will obviously implement all of those, but then on top of that, you have to look at the greater kind of halo impact, economic impact. And so when you combine those two, it more than pays for itself.
Okay. So those, the number of people you're talking about, the 1% increase, but the number of people you would project, I don't know, do you do it monthly? Do you do it yearly? How many people in these projections will be traveling, will be on that train in a given week, month, year, whatever window?
You know, Amtrak made an extraordinarily low-ball projection of about 40 to 50,000 people a year,
okay,
which is interesting because, you know, Mobile at one time in the mid-90s had a daily service to New Orleans. It was not twice daily. It was only single daily, and it only ran for about 10 months. In that 10-month period, over 20 years ago, Mobile and New Orleans, with one train a day, met those numbers. And so when we look at that and say, well, look at the growth of the Gulf Coast, not only in terms of tourism, but also just people living here, it's over 20% growth. And so you make the train not once, but twice a day, and we just don't see the numbers staying the same from 20 years ago.
Okay, so let's talk about this. If you talk about the train going and coming, we talked about it kind of like weekday business and then weekend fun. What's the schedule like? When are you scheduling? Because you mentioned Sunset Limited would come through here in the middle of the night and all this. When's the train leave? When's the train get back?
Yeah, so those numbers have not been set in stone yet because we still have to work with the freight industry to make sure that we don't get in their way, make sure they don't get in our way. So those negotiations are ongoing. But that being said, there will be a morning train leaving Mobile and a late afternoon train. And okay, so the objective is for the train to leave Mobile sometime probably around 8 a.m. That way you can get to New Orleans if that is your final destination and not Biloxi or somewhere
right,
in between.
True.
In time for a late morning meeting, because the train will run, the estimates based on the miles per hour.
Now you're getting into it. Hold on, let me get my notepad out, Stephen. This is the stuff I'm at. So, yes, what is the runtime?
So it will be comparable to driving. And what that means is that it will not be faster than driving, but if it is slower, it will not be much slower. So it's about 2 hours and 15 minutes driving. We expect the train probably to be 2.5 hours, somewhere in that ballgame.
Plus stops?
Yeah, so the stops will really only be about 3 to 5 minutes per stop.
Is that right? Okay,
yeah.
So I didn't know how much, like, I guess I've watched too many old movies. They stand around and...
No. That train pulls in, the conductor blows the whistle. If you have a ticket, you're on the platform ready to go, you hop on, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, so the stops in Mississippi will be very brief in order for this train to remain on a structured timetable.
Okay, so it would be kind of what you're telling me. It would be the same as driving, then maybe finding a parking place and doing something like that, right?
Oh, in terms of a ticket price?
What? No, I'm saying in the time, say, the time it takes you to leave Mobile and then be where you want to be. I mean, I'm just thinking, you're close to it, right? You're a little slower, but close to it.
And it depends on where you're going. If you have a meeting in the CBD in New Orleans or in the French Quarter or somewhere like that, you think about it, it's going to take you a half an hour to find a parking spot.
Sure.
You know, the train station in New Orleans is 2 blocks from the Superdome. And so we're talking.
Is that where it is? Okay.
And it has, not only does it have long-term parking there, if for whatever reason you wanted to then transfer to a long-distance train, but also we're talking about taxis and Ubers that sit outside all day. So if you have a meeting in the French Quarter or in the CBD, it can be arguably faster to take this train.
Okay. Here's the flip side. And I'm like going to just paraphrase a lot of people on the text line here are wondering, well, I'm going to get to some other ones here. Figure out what order. Now, let me ask this one first. People were saying, why are people going to come from New Orleans to here?
Well, there are thousands of reasons why somebody should come to Mobile. Right. I mean, between the restaurants, our downtown, special events, Mardi Gras, Senior Bowl, just coming here just to enjoy yourself on the water.
You see a lot of Louisiana tags in Mobile.
There's no question about it. If you talk to David Clark with Visit Mobile, he can speak to these numbers infinitely better than I can. But he'll tell you that, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, we had 3 million visitors to Mobile County last year. And when you look at the economic impact of those visitors, $1.25 billion for the county. So there's some kind of, I don't know who started this rumor that Mobile doesn't have anything to offer, but...
Well, that's what the people are saying here. There's several people worried about that it's the traffic flows just one way. I want to stop for a second, and I'm still going to ask more questions here because the fiscal conservative in me worries about this. But in general, the idea that everybody is going to be going to New Orleans and nobody's going to be coming here, I mean, it doesn't happen by... The idea that you would trap people, and I've said this to members of the city council, that say, well, we don't want to have this train to keep people from going to New Orleans. Now, that is the most totalitarian kind of, I mean, you just do a better job of marketing. I mean, and I want to not get too much off the rails on this one, but...
And it's about believing that you have a city worth celebrating. Look at the arguments that we heard about the cruise ship. How many people said, Mobile's not a destination? Who's going to come here to get on a cruise ship? Well, not only did people do that, but now we have an extended contract. When David Bronner said, I'm going to invest hundreds of millions in downtown Mobile with the RSA system, how many people threw up their arms and said, downtown Mobile is dead? Now look at it. It was the catalytic decision that led to so much coming back. And so... When people say that it's only going to draw people out, I really just disagree with that when you look at all of the great things that Mobile has to offer.
And also, I keep getting stuck on this, Mobile, New Orleans. But like you pointed out, stops in the Mississippi Gulf Coast as well. So
not only that, I mean, think about the people on the Mississippi Gulf Coast who maybe say, New Orleans is just too much for me. The traffic is too bad, but the crime is too bad. It's too expensive. I want to take my kids somewhere where I can walk around the downtown. That is Mobile. And so when you think about the day trips going our direction from Biloxi, our direction from Pascagoula, Ocean Springs, it really is going to draw in not only a lot of day visitors, but of course overnight travelers. And on top of that, considering the station is going to be located at Brookley Field as part of an intermodal option for flight and train travel, it's really a home run for Mobile.
Okay, that's what the next thing that a bunch of people have texted in about, the location, because this is was... discussed to be, maybe downtown, and now one of the discussions, a couple months ago, I heard people start talking about, it's Brookley, like you're saying. That would be the station there at the downtown airport area?
So legally, the downtown station, we could build on that. It's what it's called a legacy station, because the train line is simply suspended service from Katrina. It was never stopped. And so all of the agreements between CSX and Amtrak to run on that line, the station location, all of that is still in place. But in order to be good neighbors, and in order to listen to the local community and the port and the freight industries, we conceded that location and said, well, let's put it at Brooklyn instead, just to make sure we're out of the way.
Okay.
And so those conversations with the Airport Authority have been extraordinarily positive and productive. I would look for some information about this option being in their master plan, which will be published this summer. And so the concept of intermodal activity really sets Mobile apart, because nobody else in the entire Deep South has that option.
Really? Nobody brings the two together.
That is not something you see common. I mean, look at New Orleans again. The airport, that's a good 45-minute drive from downtown. And so having those options as a one-stop shop, one exit off of I-10 and 1 mile from the I-65 split, I mean, that's just incredible in terms of connectivity.
All right, I'll grab a phone call here and take more of them as well at 343-0106. Craig is in Mobile. You're on with Stephen McNair.
Good afternoon, Dr. McNair and Sean.
Hey.
I have two questions. One is, as far as Amtrak goes, what would the fares look like as far as Mobile to New Orleans? And the other, I think you kind of went over, what do the possibilities look like as far as Brooklyn being a transportation hub? And I'll get off and let y'all answer. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig, we're still looking at the numbers in terms of ticket prices. They're going to be comparable to these kinds of lines nationwide, and they're also going to be tiered. So if you get on the train and you're only going to Pascagoula, it would be somewhere like $10. You know, you wouldn't pay the full ticket price.
Okay.
And so you kind of pay the further you go. But as far as a one-way ticket from Mobile to New Orleans, we think it'll probably be in the 30 to 45 range, which is about the price of a parking spot for the day over there, or a half a tank of gas, which we think will...
You got a big truck, man.
Well, then maybe the train will save you money.
About $35 to $40.
Somewhere in that vicinity. Okay. That's still being hammered out.
I mean, because that's, you know, from a uneducated aspect where I'm coming from, I see time, like the efficiency of time, and the cost being the two biggest drivers. I mean, it's why, you know, low-cost carriers airfare-wise, I cut backflips for, because I was like, that you got it now.
And the train will have Wi-Fi service, which is standard for all Amtrak. It will have food and beverage. You can use your cell phone on it. You can actually bring on some snacks if you'd like. I mean, this is going to be a whole different way to move your family across the coast for a weekend. But also, let's say you are a business person and you have to be somewhere for a meeting, you can continue to work as opposed to having to drive 2-3 hours.
That's for sure. And you could always look at the cool stuff out the window. I do that too, but the kids say, Dad, drive the car. Coming right back, more with Dr. Stephen McNair. We're talking about rail service, passenger rail service in and out of Mobile. City Council votes on this tomorrow. You got questions, I got people on the line now. You can hop on at 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com. 40-plus hours a week of live local programming in podcast form for you. You can get it a la carte if you go to fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab. Or better yet, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer. Listen, if there's a podcast platform out there, most likely we're on it. So we sure appreciate you subscribing. And when you do, give us some commentary on there. And whatever the emoji is, it's thumbs up, it's smiley faces, it's whatever. Give us as many of those as possible. We sure do appreciate it. Our guest in the studio, Dr. Stephen McNair, a member of the Southern Rail Commission, and we're talking about rail service, passenger rail service in and out of Mobile, and what the future looks like as the Mobile City Council tomorrow will vote on $3 million, and I call it a subsidy. Am I using the right term?
Sure. I mean, that's really what we're asking here, is the Mobile City Council to earmark $3 million to offset what we need for the operating expenses for the first 3 years.
But conceivably, for the sake of argument, if it was just gangbusters and there was no need for it, people were running down there and there's no need for it, the city wouldn't have to pay it?
You know, that's exactly what we want people to understand, is that if this does exceed the projections, and let's say that it does better than predicted, then the city actually wouldn't be on the hook for $3 million. They'd be on the hook for less. But if it doesn't meet that, they under no circumstances will have to pay more than $3 million or pay for more than 3 years.
Okay, coming to the phones, hold on 1 second. But I saw this from Chris, because he did the math. Maybe off the top of his head, maybe on a calculator, but we're talking about the people coming in and out of the city, not only looking at just the rate of tickets, but their impact on the economy of Mobile County, those kind of things. Chris did the math, said it's $2,740 a day. Do you think Mobile or Mobile County can get $2,740 a day in tax revenue?
You know, when you look at the lodging taxes, the sales taxes, what people are going to spend when they come to our downtown and they take their family out to eat, or they go to a museum, they stay in a hotel, that's certainly possible. But on top of this, what we want people to understand is that this is should be considered a service as well. Something to increase the quality of life for all Mobilians and everybody on the Gulf Coast, not only for visitors, but also for locals to take this train. And that's something we can use not only to recruit new businesses, to recruit people to our city, but just it's an indication that Mobile is a progressive city thinking about tomorrow and not thinking as much about right now.
Well, Chris just gave me the numbers. Chris kind of said, well, I worry about $3 million. I actually may break with you, and I think it's not too much to assume you can $2,740 a day in net tax revenue. I feel like that's doable. I guess once you broke it down to a daily cost there, Chris, I actually think that's more possible. All right, to the phones at 343-0106, and Earl is in Mobile. He's first up. Hey, Earl.
Hey, Sean. I'm like you. I almost think it's like a no-brainer, but with the stadium at USA, you know, they went to the Mobile County Commission. Mobile County said, okay. The city said, no, we're not going to help you. I think you're barking up the wrong tree. Has Mobile County been asked if they wanted to contribute? And then what if they split it? What if city said, okay, here's a million and a half? Mobile County Commission, seems like their purse is pretty loose. They probably give it to you. That's my 2 cents.
All right, Earl, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that question. So the Southern Rail Commission has been in very productive and ongoing conversations with members of the Mobile County Commission, not to cover the operating expenses, but to cover the potential infrastructure expenses.
So the train, speak like I can understand, train station?
Well, train station, but also the new sidetrack that's going to have to be built to make sure this train gets off the main line as fast as possible.
Okay.
And also upgrades to some of the switching operations to make them move from manual to digital. So there are a lot of upgrades that are going to have to take place in order to make sure that the Amtrak train runs efficiently, safely, and also to make sure that it can coincide with freight. And that way nobody gets in each other's way.
That keeps coming in this conversation because it has been part of the conversation for a long time. That train station being located somewhere downtown was a driver of the conversation that freight was going to have an issue, the state docks were going to have an issue. You're talking about Brooklyn now.
That's right. And so the Southern Rail Commission listened to all of our partners locally. We listened to the Port Authority. We listened to the freight industry. And we listened to the county and the city. And everybody kind of had the same consensus, which was, look, this train probably won't get in the way, but let's not put it back to where it used to be, just in case. Because if you go back to the old station, you do have to cross some other lines, whether it's some of the other freight lines, or you just have more congestion. And so the solution that we came up with was, well, let's put it at Brooklyn Field. And that's where the Airport Authority said, that sounds good to us. We're gonna work on that. Nothing has been decided, but we're in those talks. And we were under the impression that we were out of everybody's way, which, of course, we've proven that we are.
All right. Coming back to the phones, but quickly, Donald from the text line says, does it only run back and forth once per day, requiring an overnight stay?
No, it's twice a day. So you can actually get to New Orleans late morning, have a meeting, have a lunch, have an early afternoon meeting, and then actually come back and be home by 8 or 9 o'clock.
Okay, so you can sleep in your bed on both ends. You can sleep in your bed, go to New Orleans, come back and sleep in your bed.
That's right.
All right, very good. To the phones at 343-0106. And Bernie is in Mobile. Bernie, you're on with Dr. Stephen McNair. Bernie?
Not Freddie, but that's all right.
I'm sorry. I'm just reading the screen. My apologies.
That's cool. The gentleman that I spoke to, I'm in big favor of that Amtrak because just the leisure fact for the citizens of Mobile having some other things to do and get to easy, like it stated a few minutes ago.
So you're a supporter.
And I hope, and I just can't help but believe they will address, if they haven't, is the safety of the track. I have been on those tracks in my lifetime, and you can pull a lot of rails out of the ground.
That's no good.
Well, a lot of that was rebuilt after Hurricane Katrina, and part of what we're trying to do here in terms of making sure that everything is safe is we're talking about tens of millions of dollars between Mobile and New Orleans going into new infrastructure and upgrading old infrastructure to prevent any issues from arising.
Bernie, were you with the railroad? How'd you find that out?
Well, I've been a lot of places that I've been on those railroad tracks where maybe you shouldn't be, but I've also examined those tracks, and you can see where the spikes are coming out. And I live up on the bayou, so when you travel that delta quite a bit, over the years. You can get up on them and see, but I can't believe this one proposing all this has not already considered that. But
yeah, you have, right? I mean, you talk about the work that's been done. Yeah.
So let me go into the infrastructure for just a minute. So the Federal Railroad Administration, which is part of the Federal Department of Transportation, they studied this line in the feasibility of reinstating passenger rail for a year and a half. And they came to the conclusion after working with the freights and the ports along the entire way and working with Amtrak, the conclusion was, yes, this can be reinstated. But in order to make sure that everything runs efficiently, there are some upgrades and some improvements that need to be done. And so those upgrades and improvements have been identified, and quite a bit of money, we're talking $33 million in the federal government, has been set aside for these improvements.
But this is still the same. And Bernie, appreciate your call. Freddie. This is the same line that the freight's running on anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. It's not like you're saying, oh, here's going to be the passenger line. Because, I mean, when you're going from Mobile to, correct me if I'm wrong, Pascagoula or Gulfport, Bay St. Louis, New Orleans, that's the same line that freight goes on as well.
It is, but it's a little misleading when someone just says, well, it's a single line track. That implies that only one train can come and go per day or something like this.
Okay.
So you have side tracks all along the way, whether you're in Pascagoula in the port, whether you're in Gulfport at the Port of Mississippi, New Orleans. I mean, there's so many side tracks. And also, there's an argument of saying, well, but the freight trains are longer than they used to be. That's true, which is why we're going to the Southern Rail Commission is going to construct a 10,000-foot sidetrack in Mississippi to make sure that everything runs efficiently. The objective of the Federal Railroad Administration is to look at these and solve these problems from a safety standpoint as a third party. And so by listening to them and working with the Department of Transportation, we really think that we've identified the places that need to be upgraded, and we've also secured the federal money.
Scotty says, throw in a season ticket package for the Saints, and I don't know anyone who wouldn't want it. Might be an interesting promotion. I'd be already looking at promotion items.
Sure.
Somebody says, if you're looking to fly... Oh, this is Terry. Hey, Terry. He said, if you're looking to fly west, you can often find fares $150 to $200 a person, so you could connect conveniently to New Orleans Airport to do that better.
Well, and to that point, we're hoping that people take the train to our airport.
Yeah, so you're thinking... because it would be something that... With this drive time, you're saying it's comparable, so it might be a 3-hour train trip full from one end to the other?
Right.
That may be worth working into a plan. If you could save that money, you could get on the train by, I'm not locking you, but you said 8-ish in the morning for the morning train leaving?
It's going to be somewhere in that range.
Okay.
That still has to be figured out.
Let's see. How many new... what about... How many new jobs will be... Okay, good question. How many jobs would you associate with passenger rail service in Mobile? I guess he's talking about from Amtrak. Would there be people working here that would be part of that passenger service? Or,
you know, we are going to have to contract with somebody not only to clean the train. So one of the trains will stay in Mobile overnight and the other will stay in New Orleans. And so it's just like a hotel or an airplane. You have to turn that over. You know, you have to clean everything, not only on the inside, but also the exterior. You have to do routine maintenance. And so there absolutely will be some local jobs. In addition to that, you're also going to have the construction jobs of actually building the infrastructure we need at Brooklee and then maintaining it, which is going to be the responsibility of Amtrak.
If maybe people didn't hear you earlier, so I'm going to let you, I know you go through this again, but a bunch of people are saying, and I understand what these people are saying because I'm worried about this. I've said in full disclosure over time, I'm a romantic for the idea of trains, but I always do worry that I'm seeing it through rose-colored glasses because I like the idea so much as a quality of life issue. But people are saying Mobile can't afford this. You know, and then several other people back to what they were saying earlier, this idea that it's just a one-way street going west.
When you look at the economic gain, we really can't afford not to. We're talking about a $3 million allocation over a 3-year period, and also only if the train runs. But when you look at the greater halo effect of people staying in our downtown, spending money, paying taxes, it really more than pays for itself. But also in terms of people, of it being a one-way track, I mean, that's just ridiculous. There's so many great things here for people to come and see and do in our city that, I mean, I think Visit Mobile will absolutely be promoting this, not only for people locally, but they're going to be promoting this train in Biloxi and in New Orleans.
Right. I've had the same danger other people do where I'm just focused on New Orleans, but we're forgetting this is making those stops along the Mississippi coast.
All along the coast. And as I said, Visit Mobile can speak to this much better than I can, but they often talk about tens of thousands of foreign travelers that come to New Orleans, and they spend about a week there. Well, they take a lot of side trips and day trips on buses to different old homes or different small towns, and so they do make it along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So this would make it so easy for all of those foreign travelers to come to Mobile for a few nights.
Don says, hey, what about getting something in conjunction with Carnival Cruise Lines, or has that already been mentioned?
As far as a joint ticket?
I guess it's back to this intermodal idea, right? You got air, you got trains.
We can absolutely run a shuttle from Brickley Field to the cruise terminal. That's no question about that.
All right, let's do this. We'll run to the break here, come back, and wrap it up here as we're talking about trains and the city of Mobile and passenger rail service. Dr. Stephen McNair from Southern Rail Commission in here. Mobile City Council votes tomorrow on this, on funding 3 years at $3 million, so $1 million a year if needed. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. You know, the time you spend hunting down some stamps at the post office is time. You're not doing your work, y'all. You're not doing what it is that makes you great. It's your small business, medium-sized business, big business. You're taking time out for stamps. You're losing some business. Plus, postage rates have gone up again, but thankfully, Stamps.com eases that pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses like this one right here. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, which saves you time. No more inconvenient trips to the post office. And Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending invoices, online seller shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. You simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. And once your mail is ready, you just hand it to the mail carrier or drop it in the mailbox. It is that simple. Stamps.com, no-brainer, saving you time and money. No wonder 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. And right now, y'all get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Sean, my first name, S-E-A-N. It's Stamps.com. Just make sure to use code word Sean and spell it the fast way, S-E-A-N. All right, continue our rail discussion. Dr. Stephen McNair, the Southern Rail Commission, talking about all things passenger rail service in and out of Mobile. I want to talk about what goes on across the border, because this is connecting Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. We're talking about $3 million for the city of Mobile. What are the folks of the West, what are they paying?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with this, and I should say that this project would not be where it is today without our partners in Mississippi and Louisiana and in Washington. The members of the Southern Rail Commission in those states have worked on this project for a decade tirelessly to get the region to where we are tomorrow for this vote. Okay. So this is something that we wouldn't be here without them. And so what they have been able to do is actually in Louisiana, by putting together local, state, federal matches and all their money, they have $10 million set aside for this.
Okay.
There's also been a report that the station in New Orleans is going to be refurbished if this passes.
Okay.
Number two, the state of Mississippi has put up between $18 and $20 million.
Wow.
And all of this money covers their infrastructure and their operating expenses.
Okay.
And on top of that, the Southern Rail Commission has secured a $33 million grant from the Department of Transportation in Washington. And to show you how serious people are about getting this over the finish line, Secretary Chao, the Secretary of Transportation for the President, was on the Mississippi Gulf Coast about 2 months ago in a room of reporters and civic leaders saying, this project is important to this administration, is important to me, get it done. And so that's something that we take very seriously. So while in Washington 2 weeks ago, we had meetings again with DOT and the Federal Railroad Administration, and the sentiment from everybody we spoke to is get it done. And so we're trying to be good stewards of the money that's been set aside, and that's why I really want to thank the Mobile City Council, the mayor, the county commission, the governor's office. Everybody in the state has been very open to this concept. They've been...
what about that? Because you mentioned they've been open to it. You're saying the state is? The state of Alabama? Because we're talking about local players here. How about the state's response to it? How about, how about Governor Ivey?
Absolutely. She and her administration have been actively engaged with the Southern Rail Commission, sending representatives to our meetings, receiving regular updates. And they've made it very clear, saying that, look, once all the final numbers come back on the infrastructure for the state of Alabama, then let's sit down and have a conversation and see if maybe there's some money out there for it. But the door is absolutely open. They've been very positive in terms of wanting to engage with the Southern Rail Commission. So I'd say that all options are still on the table as far as Montgomery coming into the picture.
Okay. Jeremy says here on the text line, I paid over $100 in parking when I flew out of New Orleans. I'd much prefer using that money to ride a train instead. All right. So let's do this. We got just a couple minutes left here. What do you think? What do you hear when you check your what do you see when you check your email inbox? What do people most misunderstand about this? What do people need to know before rendering their final opinion?
Well, they need to know that this is not the reinstatement of the sunset limit. And I hear a lot of people say, "Well, we've tried that before. Mobile's been down this road and it failed." We really haven't. This is something new. This is something special that will be just between these three states that allows for the kind of connectivity and price point to make this successful as opposed to a long-range line.
Because the long-range line, as you pointed out at the beginning of the hour, would come through here at odd hours.
Oh, it was 2 in the morning when it did stop. I mean, it really wasn't anything that we could rely on at all. So that's something
that I want to make. This is going to be different.
It's going to be very different. And then also, when you look at what this can do for our economy, what this can do as far as making Mobile progressive and giving them another tool in the toolbox to make downtown great, interconnectivity, bringing people to the new downtown airport, which we're going to see legacy carriers coming to the downtown airport very soon. It just makes perfect sense that the kind of a vision that the administration has for downtown, this just fits right into it.
Look at this. Tony in Fairhope says, love the idea of the station in Brooklyn. It'll help the air traveler connections too. My dad was the conductor on the last passenger train to Mobile.
Oh, that's
how about that?
That's incredible.
That's a cool connection. So that could be that could come back in the mix, and I'm sure that's something. But okay, before we finish up, so if talk timeline, I'm the what's next guy. So if the city council tomorrow votes through and puts up $3 million, okay, of $3 million over 3 years, capped at $3 million. What's next? When do we start? When do we ride a dang train, Stephen?
So about 6 months from now, we're going to have the final infrastructure numbers. And so once those numbers come back, that's when we're going to go back to the Mobile County Commission, go back to the governor's office, and start those conversations about funding the infrastructure and the station, whether it's a platform or a full station.
And the city, you said earlier, somebody didn't catch it, even if they vote this $3 million, if for some reason this doesn't happen, the city doesn't pay the $3
million. That's right. Yeah, the money is not encumbered to the point where it evaporates should the infrastructure money not be located.
Okay.
Yeah, if the train doesn't run, then Mobile never spends a dollar.
Okay. It's a, if this happened, we will then.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking, we're looking at least another year or two down the line here. I mean, this is not going to happen in 2020, probably not in 2021. I mean, we're really looking a few
years. If everything worked, that by 2022, are we getting on the train?
Yes, because by then you'll have the infrastructure completed in Louisiana and Mississippi and in Alabama. And really, we have to make sure that is done before the train can run, just to make sure that everything runs efficiently, safely, and on time.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
There's a lot of this discussion's been going on over the years here, but we're at one of those focal points coming up tomorrow with the Mobile City Council meeting. All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll talk to y'all in the morning for Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.